This is a podcast from Seven Vineyard.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Kyle. I've been at Seven. Feels like an Alcoholics Anonymous, doesn't it? My name's Kyle. I've been at Seven for 3 years. That's where you clap. Very good. Well done. Audience participation required today. Right, let's stop this nonsense and pray, shall we? Why don't we just take a moment and quiet our souls and our hearts and our minds and just allow ourselves to become aware of the presence of God again. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are grateful for you. We're grateful for your presence. And so, Lord, would you just come and speak into our hearts and minds this morning. Bring a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you more. Amen. So, it's quite interesting. A few of you guys got texts a while ago because I was thinking, crumbs, I'm speaking in a couple of weeks and I've no idea what I'm going to speak about. And so I sent out a few texts and I'm very sorry, but you're all going to be disappointed because I'm not doing anything that you guys suggested. Although it was really quite interesting. But I was praying like, Lord, what do you want to say? What are you talking about? And then suddenly Matthew 5 just dropped into my mind, dropped into my spirit. And I was like, ah. That's really interesting, Matthew 5. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible or with the Christian journey, Matthew 5 is the start of Jesus's big sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Say what you see. It was on a mountain and it was a sermon. And Matthew 5 starts off with something called the Beatitudes. And I wanted to take a time to have a look at it. I was like, Lord, okay, what is it you're talking about here? Why? I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong, Jesus. But why do you want us to focus on this today? And then I was reflecting a lot. If you have been around Seven for a while, you'll know that Owen's been leading us on this talk or series called on the book of Acts. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the key word that he's brought out a lot is revolution. These guys were part of a revolution. They were leading a revolution. Is that my tea? Where's my tea? It's over here. Excellent. They were leading a revolution. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, well, there are several key bits in the Bible. There's one key bit, Isaiah 61, that Jesus quotes in Matthew 11 and also Luke 4. And if you're not familiar with it, it's where he stands in the synagogue and he says, I'm here to proclaim the sovereign year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim freedom for the captives, good news for the poor. And I was thinking about that. Okay, well, how does this line up with Matthew 5, God? And a phrase that many people, including a good friend of mine, uses when they talk about Isaiah 61 or Luke 4, is they talk about that being Jesus's manifesto. It's why he came. It's what he wanted to do. And I was like, okay, well, if that's the manifesto, where does this line up with Matthew 5? And then it occurred to me, well, if Isaiah 61 and Matthew 11 is the manifesto, then surely the Sermon on the Mount is the Constitution. And the Constitution of what? Well, it's the Constitution of the Revolution. It's the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven. And I really want to encourage us because in many ways, it amazes me how many Christians, people who have chosen to follow the teachings of Jesus and apply them to their lives, it amazes me how many of them are unfamiliar with the content of the Sermon on the Mount. So I really want to encourage and challenge you this morning. In fact, I want to really encourage you for the next month to take the Sermon on the Mount as your scriptural diet for the next month. Whether or not you read it, whether or not you listen to it. But I really want to encourage us, if I'm right, that this could be the constitution for how Christians are meant to live and how the kingdom of heaven is meant to be, then this is something we really need to pay attention to. You see, Jesus didn't just come to die on a cross. He didn't just come to die and be raised back to life. He came to establish something called kingdom. He came to establish the kingdom. In fact, just before the Beatitudes in Matthew 4:17, Jesus said something that he says loads through the Gospels. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, quickly, really quickly, We get hung up on that word repent, right? And a lot of us, because we've come from a background where we think of God being wrathful, we think of punishment, we think of eternal damnation and those sorts of things, we get hung up on that word. And really, that is a misunderstanding of the nature and character of God. And so I really want to encourage you, as you listen to Owen's series on the book of Acts, also check out on our website, on Box Set Binge, check out Claire's series on what is God really like. Because it's really helpful to recalibrate ourselves to have a correct understanding of what God is like. So then we can really understand what repentance is like. And there's also a really good talk on repentance on Box Set Binge. So check that out as well. That's by Liz. But repentance, it's not just about repenting of sin, right? It's not about that. That's kind of part of it. But really, repentance means a change in direction, right? So you're going this way, you change your mind, you go back the other way. Jesus is saying, don't go the way you're going, repent. Turn around, come back this way, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's tangible. It's within reach. It's kind of just over the horizon. And talking about the kingdom of heaven, there was a minister in America, a guy called Timothy Keller, Dr. Reverend, I think he was, very, very clever man, cleverer than me. But he used to call it the upside down kingdom, the kingdom of heaven being the upside down kingdom. Why? Because from our perspective, it's upside down. The reality is that we're upside down and the kingdom of heaven is the right way up. But from our perspective, it's the upside down kingdom. It's different to how the world operates. It's different to how the value systems of our natural being operates. But yet that's what we're aiming for, the kingdom of heaven. The Bible portrays God as a king, a good king. And when we engage with God, when we engage with the kingdom of heaven, we are in the domain of the king, right? And what do we know about kingdoms? Well, kingdoms, they have a culture, don't they? They have a way that they operate. I mean, I don't know if you travel, I don't know if you're an international traveler like me, but every so often I go to Wales. Ooh, South Wales, come on. It's different. Have you noticed? You go over the bridge, you go into Wales, you are in a different culture. It's not England, and they will remind you that. It's different. And so the kingdom of heaven is about his culture. And the revolution is about building that culture and expanding that kingdom here on earth, right? But the thing about the kingdom of heaven is it doesn't expand as earthly kingdoms expand. As we see right now around the world, unfortunately, not too far away from us. Kingdoms are expanding using violence and force and deception and lies and money and all those sorts of things. But that is not how God expands his kingdom. And in many ways, I'd love to really dive into what kingdom is, but that's a whole series. And so really, this is just an introduction to what it means to be kingdom and to be kingdom-minded. And why revolution? Because revolution is not just about regime change. It's not just about us either. I think so often, especially in the West, we talk about Christianity, about me and my personal relationship with Jesus. And it's about me, and it's about me feeling warm and fuzzy, and it's about Jesus loving me, and aren't I the sunshine, and all those sorts of things. And we think about it, about us getting into heaven. In fact, I was chatting with a friend of mine who comes to the church, and he was saying, you know, Carl, it wasn't until recently that I realized that it wasn't just about me getting to heaven. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really interesting, actually. Because so much of our Christianity is about us, right? It's about our relationship. But it's not about us getting into heaven. It's about heaven getting into us so that we can leak heaven wherever we go. His culture, his values, his DNA. See, it's not about us. It's about everybody else. It's Habakkuk 2:14. Habakkuk, if you don't know, is a book in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's one of the minor prophets. And in 2:14, God says, "For the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters covers the seas." That's where we're going. That was what the prophet was saying, is one day, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters covers the seas. See, disciples didn't get it, and so often we don't get it either. See, it's not just about you. It's not just about us. It's not just for the Jews. See, followers of Jesus, we're meant to be his agents of change, his ambassadors. We're meant to display the kingdom, to build the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, right? Remember that prayer? Do you remember that phrase? I don't know about you, but so often I think of the Lord's Prayer, and when I start saying it, if I'm not careful, it takes me back to that dark, cold room in primary school where you're kind of taught to recite it by heart. But actually, that prayer is supposed to be the cry of our hearts. It's supposed to be something that inspires us, that encourages us, that reminds us what we're doing. We're meant to cry out, especially as we look and we see the injustices around the world that I've named just a few of already. Oh God, would your kingdom come? Oh God, would you establish your rule and reign? Because remember, when Christ comes, when rule and reign actually comes, when heaven really comes, there's no injustice. There's no persecution, there's no hunger, there's no famine, there's no war, there's no sickness. This is what we're aiming for. So, let's read Matthew 5, and I'm just reading from 1 to 16. Feel free to follow along in your Bibles. I'm reading from the NIV, because that's the Bible I've got. If you've got a different one, that's fine. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Gosh, it sounds nice like that, doesn't it? Isn't the NIV lovely? How poetic it flows. But let's just read that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Doesn't sound very blessed to me, does it? Does that sound blessed to you? And I've grown up in the church. I went right from birth, before birth, I was dragged along as well. But I've been surrounded by Christianity my whole life, and in some ways that's been a huge blessing. In other ways, not so much. But so often I've heard these things talked about as virtues. These are things to aim for, guys. Let's be poor in spirit. Let's be persecuted. Come on. When you're persecuted, you know you're doing the right thing, and that's led Christians to do loads of really stupid things, right? I don't think this is the case. I don't think Jesus is saying, this is what you want to look like. And so I was thinking, okay, blessed, that's a strange word. What does that mean? So thank goodness for Google. This would have been really tough 30 years ago. But blessed, do you want to know what the word was that was translated to blessed? Yeah. Yes, you do. Love the audience participation. Thank you. It's like a... Oh, why am I? Panto, there we go. It's behind you. Right. I've got to try and say this Greek word now. Makarios. Makarios is the word. And do you know what that means? Well, kind of blessed. It can be translated as blessed, but it means congratulations. Yeah, congratulations if you're poor in spirit. What? Congratulations if you mourn. Has anybody mourned? Yes. Oh, gosh, it doesn't feel like congratulations, does it? Mazel tov. You've just lost your best friend. Oh, mazel tov. That dream that you've been holding on for is still out of reach. It doesn't sound like congratulations. Blessed are the meek. Mazel tov for the meek. Now, again, I've heard many times, I'm not a Bible translator, might surprise you, and I think their job is really, really difficult. But the word that's translated to meekness, parius, or parus, P-A-R-U-S, well, a lot of people say that meekness is strength under control, and that sounds good, right? I want to be meek if I've got strength under control. And I've been taught that it's like a horse, you know. You've got a wild stallion, which I identify with very clearly, as you can appreciate. You've got a wild stallion. Well, once they get their bit in their mouth and their spirit's broken, which isn't exactly a nice phrase, is it? But then they become meek because they've got strength under control. And that sounds cool. I could have strength under control. My strength is under control of the kingdom of heaven. That sounds good. Well, another translation could be, blessed are those who are oppressed. The oppressed. Now, I'm a heterosexual white male living in England. I don't think I've ever really been oppressed. So I don't know what that feels like. But I can imagine, hey, congratulations if you're oppressed. Seems strange. So what is Jesus getting at? Well, I really like the Message version. If you ever read the Message version, and we forget that thing about the Message, it was written by a wonderful man named Eugene Peterson. Now, Eugene Peterson didn't just go, oh, I don't really like the NIV, I'm going to kind of write it in my own words. He was a scholar, an incredibly intelligent man. And he says this, he says, you're blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God in his rule. You're blessed when you feel lost, you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves the proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. His food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourselves cared for. And I can kind of identify a little bit more than that. Okay, I get that. You know, you're blessed. Congratulations when you're at the end of your rope, because do you know what? God's still got plenty of rope left. You see, what I think Jesus is saying in this Makarios, he's saying, congratulations, you at the end of yourself? Congratulations, are you broken by injustice? Congratulations, are you broken by dreams that have been shattered before you? Congratulations, are you poor? Well, you're in. Congratulations, because you're in. This kingdom is for you. You see, Jesus is not just for the rich and the powerful. Remember, at the time that Jesus was around, the religious rulers were powerful and influential. Thing about the poor is they know they're poor, they know they're powerless. And I think too often we are middle class in spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, middle class means, well, I'm educated, I've got I've got a little bit of financial backing, I've got some intelligence, I've got some strength, I can work this out, I can get this done. If I work hard enough and I put the time in, I'm going to get what's coming to me, I'm going to get what's deserved, right? Whereas the poor, they recognize, I got nothing. The poor, the downtrodden, the broken, you see, when they find Jesus, they find a savior. When the middle class in spirit find Jesus, we find kind of an add-on. He's a little bit one of those, one-hand bandits. You can put the money in, pull a slot, and hopefully, if you're lucky, you get the gift that you want at the end of it. You see, the other thing is the Jews also believed that if you had a good life, you had God's blessings. But poverty, illness, brokenness, that was God's curse, right? Remember in John 9, there was a story, the disciples found a guy who had been blind from birth. And they said to Jesus, hey, JC, what happened to him? Who sinned? Was it his mum or his dad? And Jesus was like, guys, neither. It's not like that. It doesn't work that way. Rich or poor, you are blessed. God is for you. You are in. You're not excluded. You see, that's why Timothy Keller talks about it being the upside down kingdom. Everyone else, right, in the world wants a tall, athletic, intelligent, rich, attractive, gifted, happy-go-lucky. Jesus doesn't require that. If you're not all that, it's okay. You're in too. You're in not because of that. You're in regardless. Whether you, if you are rich, tall, powerful, handsome, athletic, happy-go-lucky, talented, you're in regardless of those things, not because of it. And when you're in, don't lord it over people. Don't be proud, don't be arrogant, because it's not about you. It's nothing you've done. It's simply you are in simply because everyone's in. And so if you are poor, if you are mourning, if you are downtrodden, if you are oppressed, don't disqualify yourselves. Don't think you're not good enough, because you are, we are. Do you have everything or nothing? It's okay, you're in. And here's the thing, Jesus doesn't promise that the bad stuff will end. It will end. That's the promise we hold on to, right? The kingdom is coming in the age not yet to come. All things will be made new. There will be no more injustice. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more depression. There'll be no more anxiety. But it's not yet. But he does promise to be with you. He promises to never, ever leave you, to never forsake you. See, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the now and the not yet. It's kind of in within reach. As Paul says in the end of that amazing chapter in 1 Corinthians on love, he says, now we kind of see vaguely. We kind of see in part, but one day we will see fully. The kingdom of God is not yet, but it is here. It's that tension, it's that frustration. So we've got to be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Just briefly on verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Again, some daft Christians have thought, right, that's how we get blessed, so let's go and make sure we do stupid things to get persecuted. But that's not what he's saying. See, we're part of a different culture. There may be persecution. There may be pushback. Well, don't pursue it. Prejudice happens. But remember, Jesus sees. He says, great is your reward in heaven. When you go against the grain in your, I don't know where you work, maybe in your work, everyone's stabbing each other in the back to use you as a ladder to climb up to the next thing. Well, don't do that. Yeah, you might miss out on the promotion, but Jesus says, great is your reward in heaven. The Father sees you and will honor you. It might not be in the time or the way we want to see that happen, but that's okay, because it's not our kingdom, right? We are not the king. He is the king. It is his culture. It is his value. It is his timing. And we need to learn to walk in pace with that. Now, salt and light. Do you remember the songs? This little light of mine. Beautiful. Ah, you warmed us up so well. Look at that. Thank you. Absolutely. Well, don't worry. Now is not the time where I force you to go and make your light shine brighter. But do it. Salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Gosh, that's strong words, isn't it? And again, if we come from a background where we think of God as wrathful, and as we think of we've got to behave ourselves or we're going to get zapped by a bolt of lightning, then please go and listen to Claire's talks and have a little bit of recalibration and understand the true nature and character of God. I don't think God's saying, if you're not going to be salty, if you're not going to be useful, I've got no use for you, I'm going to chuck you out. Has anybody ever found any salt that's no longer salty? I haven't. I've not looked extensively. But I think all he's saying is salt has a purpose, right? Salt has a purpose. What's the purpose? Well, before modern day, fridges and freezers, what was salt used for? Yeah, preserving, right? Absolutely. It was about keeping things good, keeping things fresh. The other thing that salt is good for is drawing out the natural flavors. My mum, lover, wonderful woman, she's probably not watching because it's on the internet, so we're safe. But she, lovely home-cooked meals all the time. She rarely used salt, right? Rarely used salt in her cooking. It was still good. I grew up, eventually, started cooking. Oh, let's start using some salt. Chuck that in. Woo! Now, I love corn on the cob, right? And you get some butter, don't you? Just slap on that butter. Now, as I eat the corn on the cob, I'm not thinking, that salty butter is good, right? What am I saying? This corn is good. Why? Because salt draws out the natural flavors, doesn't it? That's what salt does. It draws out the natural flavors that are already there. The other thing, he talks about being light. You are the light of the world. Now, my wife, as many of you will know, she's an artist. And when I got married, I was really lucky to be taken around lots of galleries. And I've grown to like them. I have. And now that she's an artist, we go and hang stuff in galleries. So it's good that I've grown to like them. Now, you might not do what I do. I go into galleries and I think, these lights are good. Because I've been trained to think that way by my darling wife. But really, you don't do that, do you? You go into a gallery or to a theatre show, you see a stage, you don't see, gosh, the lighting's good. You see, wow, aren't the colours vibrant? Isn't that beautiful? Why? Because the light highlights the natural colours. The salt highlights the natural flavours. Guys, you are the light of the world. You shine, not so others look at you, not so they're blinded by your holiness. Little miss two churches a week. Right? We all saw that, Joanna. It's not about that. You don't want to be the saltiness. Hey, gosh, doesn't the place taste salty? No, it's about being salt and light, being kingdom of heaven, so that the natural colours, the natural flavours around you can come out. And we hope that in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may praise your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As we reflect the values and the culture of the kingdom of heaven, we draw it out of other people. You know, as we go to home group, we don't go there to dominate discussion. We go there to be salt, to bring out the natural flavors. I know, Karen, imagine what it was happening if I wasn't holding back at home group. Goodness. But that's what we do. That's what we're there for. When we're at work, we're there to draw out the natural flavors where there's goodness. Whatever is good, whatever is just, whatever is righteous, whatever is lovely. We draw those things out. We highlight those things. And when the opportunity arises, when the relationship is there, when those conversations turn round, then we're in a place to say, well, here, let me tell you why. And let me just point in a non-weird way to the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what I think about Jesus. Let me tell you why I like to live this way. Let me tell you why my life is different. You see, that's who we're called to be. That's what we're called to be. As we operate in line with the kingdom of heaven, regardless of the pushback that he's already warned us about, we bring out the natural flavors and colors of life. And when we do it well, we help others to see Jesus, to see the kingdom of heaven. As we do it well, we are part of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters covers the seas. We are part of that gentle revolution, that expansion of the kingdom of heaven. And people come and experience God. So I want to come and draw into a close now. But I wonder if we can just take a few moments. I'm aware of time and children need to be collected, but I wonder if we can just take a few minutes and just reflect. What's Jesus saying to you this morning? Are you poor in spirit? Or are you middle class in spirit? Have you disqualified yourself? Or maybe, how are you going to be salt and light this week in your workplaces? Just take a few minutes and reflect on that. So remember, Jesus says, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are strong, whether you are weak, whether you are mourning, wherever you are at, you are in. You are in. The invitation's there. And so this week, as we go about our lives, may we remember that. And may we be salt and light to bring out the natural flavors of the kingdom of heaven around us. May we see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, knowing that we're in, knowing that we belong.